friend of mine was having a procedure done at the hospital, and I wanted to go visit with her, and she said, well, it's just minor surgery. And I have read, though, that the only minor surgery is surgery that happens to someone else. Everything sounds easy if someone else has to do it. In the same way, I think a lot of the biblical texts that we have, they're not particularly difficult if we think they're directed at someone else. When we read a text that is hard and has some hard things in it that someone is supposed to do, it's not so difficult for us if we think it's for someone else. If we read a difficult passage of Scripture and think, well, I hope they hear it, because they're the ones that need it. We have some difficult words today in both our Old Testament reading and in our gospel. I think these things are telling us that if we are to have a full life in God, we have to abandon our fear of change, and we have to embrace these difficult passages, see these messages as being for us as well as for other people. We have to listen even to the hard texts. I've said before that I have a short list of things that I really wish Jesus hadn't said. This is one of them, where he says, whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even life itself cannot be my disciple. But then he goes on to say, for which of you intending to build a tower does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? So we are to hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers, sisters, life itself, to be Jesus' disciples. Makes me ask the question, what in the world have we agreed to anyway when we chose to follow this Jesus? And a related question for me is, if we decide to do this hard thing, how do we know day to day what we're supposed to be doing if we do take this agreement seriously? I think we're supposed to take it seriously. I think we're supposed to be uncomfortable with it, because I believe that God means to shape us for work that is far beyond our own vision and our own imagination, and certainly beyond our comfort level. Work which will involve us directly, so it cannot be classified as minor surgery. The gospel to me today is telling us not to have complacency. It is something, I think, that can come home to roost in churches that are very healthy, because we get very happy that we're secure and we're stable. But we even speak against such complacency in one of our Eucharistic prayers. We ask for forgiveness from God for coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. If you look at those phrases, you'll see that the first part has to do with internal, personal things for ourselves, and the second part of each piece has to do with going out and using the gifts we've been given. So we come to this table for solace, but it's also supposed to give us strength to go out and talk to other people and share good news with other people. We come to this table for pardon for our sins, but not just for us, but to renew us in a way that we can go forgive and renew others. I am very, very happy to say that we're making good progress next door on our kitchen renovation, and you all have been very generous with your gifts and your time and your financial resources, and we are in the middle of realizing a long-time dream for this church. I came here in the early 2000s, and they were talking about redoing the kitchen then, and we're getting there, and we have the money to do it. But my question is, so what do we do next? Do we just use our brand new kitchen to feed ourselves? Or should we find new ways to feed someone else, physically or spiritually? I was very troubled to hear at one of our local schools that the parents are very upset when school ends for the summer, possibly because they'll have the kids home, but also because that takes out some of the meals that the children are getting during the school day. I'm not saying bring them to our new kitchen. I'm saying there are things out there that we should be doing something about. If we can focus our attention outside these walls to see what God is calling us to do that might feel difficult to us. I personally would like to see us continue as we have done this year. You have been very generous, and your vestry has been very wise, in my estimation, in paying down the debt much more quickly than we were required to do. And I'd like to continue to do that, because I think if we pay off the debt, then the amount that we spend on that note every month could get us out of our comfort zone and get us to help other people. Other people. How many people could we feed physically or spiritually using the money that goes toward the debt? And I don't mean to be a buzz killer. Life here is very good. It's life-giving here. It's joyful for us. But what I'm asking through this difficult text is, shouldn't our life in Christ be something more? Shouldn't discipleship call us out of comforting ourselves and into comforting others? In general, the human distaste for discomfort and turbulence keeps us from risking in the name of God. We have been through some very rough times in this particular church. And it's easy to just take a deep breath and say, aren't we glad we're not in conflict? We're vibrant and we're growing. But we're coming here for solace. We should also be coming for strength to go do something about the people who don't know about God. There are many things that we need to give up. Jesus says in the end of the gospel passage we read today that we need to give up our possessions. I hope he doesn't mean cars. He didn't mention cars, so I think I'm going to But let's think about what that means, not just in terms of, it's not about privation, it's about getting rid of things that get between us and what we're called by God to do. Sometimes those things are actual things. They are possessions. Sometimes the obstacles to us are more internal, more psychological. If we need to prove others wrong to make ourselves look good, that's not really a possession, but it's an attitude that can possess us and keep us from being the loving presence in the world. But if we choose to give up these things of the world that so many people are so attached to, we choose a countercultural way and we invite emotional cost. The cost of not going along, of sticking out, of speaking up. It's a way of reordering our priorities, our energies, and our comforts. Jesus says this way will save us. He doesn't say it's not going to hurt. The gospel, today's passage, and all of the gospel is God's way of trying to turn us toward what we are called to do. I don't know about you, but when I read difficult passages like the Jeremiah passage and the gospel, my instinct is to make it about me, and then I get really uncomfortable. Jeremiah says God is going to destroy me. What will it cost me? I feel threatened by that So I become defensive and direct the word of judgment towards someone else. I hope they hear it and do what they're supposed to do. As I said, minor surgery is surgery that happens to somebody else. But what if we take these passages and change to the wide-angle lens to see what they might be saying about us, the people of God, especially at St. Peter's? Jeremiah and subsequently Jesus are telling us that our community must be shaped by God, turned toward God, and led by God. If God wants us at St. Peter's to change and to do more, God will give us the way to do it. We are called to bring our gifts to this place, and not just to make this place stronger, but that in that strength to go outside and help someone else. We are called to God's work, but not just as we are. As fearsome as it sounds, to me at least, God wants to transform us. Discipleship is about hard transformation in a person and in a community. When we invite that transformation, we're not destroyed, we're resurrected. I believe that God has bigger plans for the greater church and for St. Peter's by the Lake. Greater plans than for us to be simply stable and not experience or cause any trouble. I think God has bigger plans for all Christians than congregational maintenance. But to keep this part of the body of Christ healthy and to make it a gift to the world, we will always need work, and we will always need adjustment, and we will need to be pushed to do things for those outside these walls. If we invite such change and challenge, it will not be minor surgery. But I pray that all of us together have the courage to agree to it, to this transformation, to allow the words we speak so widely to transform us in God's name.